Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Currently about 62 degrees in the upstate, give or take a few degrees, depending on where you might happen to be this morning. Going to get up to a high, says the Weather Service, of 83 degrees. I'm trusting less and less these Weather Service predictions. Supposed to be sunny skies today. Yesterday they said it was going to be 79. It was 93 in my car when I was driving around. So I guess they were off by 14 degrees. I previously thought they were only off by about 5, but 14 was a pretty wild difference yesterday. So who knows how hot it's going to be today. They say 83, could be 125 for all I know. At any rate, it's going to be a warm and sunny day, probably a very beautiful day here in the upstate as you're making your way out to work. Glad you joined us this morning. Hope you've had your second cup of coffee already, because today we have just another exciting show, another exciting edition of Christian Worldview. And joining me here in the studio, we'd like to welcome once again Rippin' Richie Williams.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and Rippin' Richie's going to tell us all about the stories we're going to be covering today, so I'll just turn it over to him and let him go ahead and have at it.
Here's what we got today, May the 20th, 2005. We're live here at 7:32 a.m. Bush pledges $50 million in aid for Palestinians. He's such a generous man.
He sure is.
He's got a lot of money, so I guess he can afford that. The Oregon House votes to end homeschooler tests. Meanwhile, somewhere else in Oregon, what's the other thing in Oregon?
Oh, we have a University of Oregon diversity plan raises faculty eyebrows.
So we got good news and bad news from Oregon.
Yeah.
I'll tell you about some illegal aliens who are actually very well-off illegal aliens, not the typical illegal aliens. We've got 5 cases of Quran mishandling. Oh, no. And who is, we'll answer the question, who is the real-life Sith?
Good, good. We also have an email from a listener, and we're going to hopefully get to a few phone calls. We're really upgrading our whole system here at the Tyranny Response Network. We've got a new studio line temporary for probably this week and the next couple of weeks till we have our normal line reinstalled. You can dial the studio today at 864-849-0277. 864-849-0277. We're fully expecting that line to work, but if for some reason it doesn't, don't be frustrated. Call the backup line, the usual number there, 201-695-5864. But please do prefer the 849-0277 this morning. I wanted to remind you all, or thank you all who came out last night for the League of the South meeting, in which I had a chance to speak at the League of the South. It was an excellent event. Of course, what else would you expect when the Tyranny Response Unit is speaking on towards a new system of committees of correspondence as we try to get the word spread abroad and help prepare for the Third American Revolution? Won the first one, lost the second, hoping in the third one we do better and regain freedom here in the great land of America.
2 out of 3 would be great.
It would be at this point. We'd settle for 2 out of 3. We don't even want a tie. We certainly don't want 2 losses. On our hands, but the League of the South meeting went very well last night. I was very pleased that all of you came out and joined us. I want to make a quick pitch for the Tyranny Response Network. These folks are working diligently not only to upgrade our studio equipment, which they've done a phenomenal job so far in doing this week, but in addition to that, they're trying to upgrade the signal in the upstate. In fact, this week has been a tough week, and actually last week I think was as well as far as hearing the signal. But thanks to your generous contributions, we've been able to. They will be able to upgrade the system even further by Saturday night. Should be better reception elsewhere. In addition to that, they're on a fundraising drive right now. They wanted me to mention they're just a few $100 short of being able to get a stronger signal over in the Anderson, Pickens, Clemson, 6 Mile Liberty area, and maybe Westminster, Seneca, those things as well. If you're able to help out at all, we would encourage you go to the tyrannyresponse.net or .com. PolicyofLiberty.com website, as well as the PolicyofLiberty.net website. Click on the PayPal donation there, or send a check off to the P.O. Box listed on the TyrannyResponse.com website. Where's that listed? Somewhere on there, isn't it?
TyrannyResponse.com.
But where's it? Where's
it? It's on the front page, of course.
Oh, it's just right there on the front page. It tells those I just can't see it. That's my problem. I look on these things.
You're on the events page, buddy.
Oh, you see, if I wasn't on the events page, I'd be all right. So if I go click on this one, I'll see it.
Keep scrolling.
All the way down. There it is. TRUD, P.O. Box 151, Piedmont, South Carolina, 629673. And I don't think your contribution is too little. Literally, we're just $380 short of having a whole new transmitter and thousands more people reached with this station. If you can simply give $10 or $20, we would really appreciate it. Right at this time. After that, the next dot is a Spartanburg site. We have a site being prepped already, and that we'll need to raise for TRN another $1,200 for that one. But first things first, we need to put the one transmitter up in the Anderson side of the Upstate, and we'd like to do that. We'd really appreciate your help. Go ahead, Richard.
Oh, I don't have anything to say. I'm just
usually don't, but you're here filling air anyway.
Hey, did you notice the events page?
The events page was awesome. I was shocked. I opened that up and I thought, is this really the TyrannyResponse.com website?
Yeah, I put up an actual calendar there.
How do you do that?
I figured it out last night. I messed with it for a while, finally figured it out.
Okay.
So I thought that would be convenient for people. You actually look and see a calendar there so you can see when these great events take place.
It
as
is.
As well as a description as well.
You know, I forgot to tell you, Institute on the Constitution is not going to occur on the 30th.
Well, I'll have to make that change then. I didn't know
and,
that.
And last night they voted at the League of the South meeting to have it on the third Thursday. See, there's that conflict on your calendar there, how Greenville County taxpayers meet the same night.
Yeah.
They're actually meeting on the League of the South moved it to the third. So third Thursday. So they'll be meeting on June 16th.
I was hoping maybe they'd like battle it out for that night or something.
They tend to try to do that. They're a little, you know, but one was less stubborn than the other, the newcomer, because the League of the South. Did you know League doesn't have L-E-A-U-G-U-E in it? It only has one U.
Oh, I was in a hurry.
Okay.
At least I got it done, buddy.
I thought you didn't run your spell checker on it or something. Or maybe you corrupted it.
I don't have spell checker on the Dreamweaver.
Well, sometimes, you know, you corrupt your spell check database. You add, like, a word when it's misspelled, and then you're forever messed up from that point on. You ever do that?
No, you know, I don't mess with the spell checking that much. Actually, you don't... Unless you're like in Word or something like that, which I don't use that often, you don't have those options.
Yeah, I wonder.
Yeah, I'll fix that later.
I wonder how do you put the times on here? Is there a way to put it? It'd be too complicated, wouldn't it, if you had times?
Well, the times are already up there at the top in the regular description.
Okay, I see. So people need to know exact times and stuff. They need to just scroll up and find the time out above.
Right. So at the top you have a list of the meetings, a description of the meetings, and then. At the bottom of the page, you have a actual calendar you can look at, which tells you exactly when those meetings are. So if you see a meeting on the calendar, you can just look it up on the at the top of the page and see exactly what time it is and a description of the meeting.
I wonder if it would be interesting to put like a line in the middle of these boxes, so you have like evening and morning be like obvious, just a visual, instead of having to only scroll up.
You know, no, I don't think that would be very interesting.
Don't think so?
No.
How about like shading it so the bottom color is like darker than the top?
No, that would not be interesting either.
You're just lazy. You don't want to do more work on
late? You know how long it took to do that?
I have no idea.
Dang. I'm trying to keep this a little bit simple.
Did it take a while to do that?
Yeah. Because I don't know what I'm doing.
You know, well, okay. Well,
the thing. I don't know what I'm doing. I always have to figure this stuff out. I mean, I popped in my instructional CD-ROM and tried to figure this stuff out, and first I was having trouble with the dates, the date was moving around and stuff. It would stay at the very top of the box, and it was a mess. Trying to get the boxes all the same size.
Well, I think you just done a tremendous job here. I'm very impressed. I wonder if we should fill up Sunday with something like go to church or something like that. I
mean,
we
no, not on Sunday, because it has to be on Saturday.
Oh,
Saturday's the Sabbath.
This is the Saturday Sabbath, folks. We could please them. Okay, we could write a little note here on Saturday, if you're a Saturday Sabbath folks.
I'm not going to let Constantine tell me what to do.
Hey, you missed the whole Patriot meetings. The Patriot meetings are the first Saturday in Greenville. We need the Carolina Patriots meet the first Saturday, and they meet the third Friday.
Is that at the top of the page?
Well, I don't know.
Hold on. Link to this.
It doesn't look like it.
I need to put that on there then.
Yeah.
I know I've got a link to their site, but I don't have that yet.
You don't have them regularly.
We'll get it going.
On there. Okay. All right. Well, we got a caller.
Hey, oh, boy. We got a caller.
And they're calling on the new line
super
here.
Advanced. This is the same type of setup that Rush Limbaugh uses, so we're going to try this out for the first time.
Yeah.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello? Hey, good morning.
Hang on. We need to press a button to make sure that you come through the
speaker. Is that microphone on there?
I don't think it is. I think we need to turn that microphone on. Try again, Chuck.
Hey, good morning. This is Chuck.
I don't know. I don't hear Chuck.
I hear him.
Too much of a delay. I can't tell you if he's coming through.
Well, now we're talking here. We got something. You know we're in high-tech land when this kind of stuff occurs.
If nothing else, we're feeding back.
Yeah, there we go.
We are definitely.
Ooh, boy. That's nice. Turn it down a little bit, I guess.
All right.
Well, let's try that now.
When Rush Limbaugh started this system up before, I wonder if he had these same feedback problems like this.
Yeah, probably so.
Well, Chuck, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Well, how come we keep getting that noise?
You know, it's fine as long as he doesn't talk.
Chuck, will you stop talking, please? We don't have this problem. Okay, go ahead and talk, Chuck. We have to test it out again and see if it's actually working.
Okay, testing 1, 2, 3.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Well, that's rough. Okay.
I guess I'll
tell you what, Chuck. Here's what we do. We got a backup line. Go ahead and call us on our backup line instead. We'll try that one out instead. All right. Appreciate it.
Why is that not stopping now?
Turn our thing on. We need somebody who has technical ingenuity. You know, where do you need your head producer when he was here the last couple of days making our studio work? He thought. You'd think they would go and test out these things, and actually, it's not his fault. We thought we'd be really creative and jump ahead of the curve and move some new equipment down here. So don't blame the TRN production staff. They work hard. They think they have it all set up, and then Rip and Richie and Dr. Coben go in and really mess things up by throwing a curveball like this. Well, at any rate, okay, scratch that, folks. Don't call the backup line.
We'll have a totally different system probably next Tuesday. Hopefully that'll work better.
Yeah, that's right. This is sort of a temporary patch, isn't it? Well, okay, now someone's calling on another backup. The other backup line, by the way, is 201-6955 in the 864 area code, 864-201-6955. All right, is this you again, Chuck, calling?
It is, yes.
Oh, good. Look at that.
Hey, no noise.
We can always trust our backup line. Are you drilling him? You know, Richie was trying to drill somebody over there. At any rate, go ahead, Chuck.
We need a webcam for this show.
Okay. You've been announcing the meeting that was going to take place, Anderson County LP, on Thursday night.
Yes.
And I wanted to let you know about that meeting. It did take place. Tim Moultrie came and did a good job of speaking.
Now, this was the STOP meeting, the South Carolinians to Stop Property Taxes or something like that, right?
That's right.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us about it.
Okay. You really didn't need to miss a lot of content. If you have time and a computer, you can go to www.stoptax.org. And that is their website, and a lot of what he talked about is posted on their website. And the key thing is that they have negotiated a bill with the legislature. It's not the only bill out there, but it's the one that this organization and our own state senator David Thomas endorses, and that's S-880.
Oh, great. Okay.
And the point of the exercise is to get rid of the personal property tax.
Uh-huh. The personal property tax or the real property tax?
Well, that's a good point. It's the personal real property tax.
Okay,
I don't think this would get rid of the tax on vehicles. This would just be on real property.
Okay, so it's a real property tax. See, personal property and real property in large are like buzzwords.
Yes.
I mean, it's two different things. Real property is buildings, lands, building, and things attached to the land, and personal property is everything else.
That's right.
Okay.
The holdup had been that the legislature had bonded indebtedness, and they weren't sure how to be able to get the bonds back up. In other words, the bonds were backed by your property, my property.
Hmm.
And because they had that taxing authority on the property, then that was what was backing up their bonds. They said, well, if we go to a sales tax, there's nothing backing the bonds.
Right, right.
The mechanism that they've chosen in this bill, and I'm not sure what the ups and downs of it would be, but they think it's effective at any rate, is to extend the senior citizen homestead exemption. In other words, they were already taking a certain part of the population saying, these people don't have to pay the personal property tax. What they're going to do is extend it to everyone. Not businesses, but all people.
Well, that's wonderful.
All
I mean,
personal real estate. Therefore, since the authority is still there, the bond indebtedness is still backed up, but the actual money would come in through a 3-cent sales tax.
Well, I don't like sales taxes, but I'm glad I'm not being discriminated against in favor of old people anymore. Some people already say I'm old people, but even though they call me old people, they still don't give me any benefits for being old. You know, I don't get any welfare handouts or anything else. So it's nice, and including Social Security in that, of course, as a biggest welfare program. But it's nice to know that this organization exists, and of course, I hope they succeed. I'd love to have the government confiscating less of my money.
That's right. Well, and the way it's structured, and you have to assure the government, of course, they don't want to take less. And there'll be people in there, particularly the school system, that objects to it. But it's structured to raise the same amount of money. Mm. Reducing the spending is going to be a separate exercise, I can assure you. But in this exercise, it's revenue neutral. But the advantage is that now you actually can own your property, and that you have some control over how much you pay. In other words, you have to have your property. You have to have a place to live unless you can, you know, use the old cardboard box on the sidewalk.
Or bamboo and styrofoam. Yeah, this is great news, Chuck. We appreciate the call and helping us know a little bit more about this. I now know why, too. We could have had more people at the League of the South meeting last night if they hadn't scheduled it the same night as the Stop.org people in Anderson and the Greenville County Taxpayers Association. Must be tough when you have liberty-minded...
Target-rich environment last night.
That's right. Yeah, all the liberty-minded people were spread across the whole upstate from Greenville to downtown, or downtown Greenville and Anderson, trying to hear about liberty-minded ideas. Well, we really appreciate this information, Chuck. It's actually break time. Do you want to hold on through the break?
Got to go, but I enjoyed talking to you. I'll try to catch you some more on the radio.
Okay, appreciate it. The call, Chuck. Talk to you soon.
Thanks. Okay, bye-bye.
And you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and today guest hosted with the infamous Rippin' Richie Williams, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money, and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen, and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know, that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPROS, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPROS.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Welcome back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and today I'm guest hosting. I'm Rippin' Richie. Studio number, you can try this one. We're going to try this again at 864-849-0277. Maybe we can get a caller on that line. 864-849-0277. We're live from 7:30 to 9 o'clock weekday morning, so if you're listening on a weekday morning, we are live. This is the Tyranny Response Network on the web at tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. Today's show, as we mentioned earlier, we're talking about Bush giving away money to Palestinians. We're talking about rich illegal aliens. I mean, these people are like loaded, and they're here illegally. We've got five cases of Quran mishandling. We'll answer the question, who is the real-life Sith? But first, what's next?
Well, go ahead and just start with one of those stories. I think that's interesting. Or, we didn't actually read one of these ads yet. You can read one of those if you want. It's about the Libertarian Party or something like that, or a taxpayers meeting.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions?
I am.
Try voting Libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other Libertarians? You'll find they're regular people like you. That's not really... Is that true? Would you call these people regular people?
Well, they're unusual because they're just so radical. I mean, they might as well have something like R painted on them, you know, like the Scarlet Letter. They just had an R painted right on their forehead, so people would identify them immediately.
Now, these are people concerned about our republic and willing to act on that concern. Business meeting is at 6:30 p.m., the second Thursday of the month, at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome. Then they have another meeting at 8 p.m., the fourth Wednesday of the month, at Cafe Underground, just off of Main Street downtown. And they would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government.
Great news. Well, you know, we always, before we get to our first story, I guess I'll acknowledge this first email we had. I love getting these kinds of emails. I get them pretty regularly. People that visit the website, policyofliberty.net, and find all sorts of interesting and creative ideas, the truth, all presented there at policyofliberty.net. And here we have an email from Diane. She says, I have read your article on the marriage covenant I'm so blessed by it. I have said the same thing for years and was seen as a heretic for my beliefs. A heretic because she didn't want to get a marriage license. Amazing. Nowhere in Scripture do I find evidence that the state had to approve a marriage before it was legal. This is one of the best papers I have read on the subject. God bless, Diane. Now, Diane also notes that she is a PhD, so I wrote her back and I said, thank you so much for the encouraging note, with an exclamation mark after it. That means I was really emphasizing it. What is your doctorate in? Question mark. And she wrote back and says, it is in biblical studies, currently busy with one in theology. So she's already got one in biblical studies. She's doing one in theology, and she's supporting marriage covenants rather than marriage licensing. She says, as a matter of interest, in South Africa, where I am from, pastors take a state exam on marriage law. Can you imagine that? Would you mind going to the state to get licensed as a pastor? And once it is passed, the license and the marriage certificate are used by the church and recognized by the state. It is still not the desired way to go, but I have performed many marriages that no certificate for the state was issued. It was just requested by the couple in question. God bless. This is not Diane. You know, I must be dyslexic. It's just an unusual name. Do you see that name there, Richie?
Yeah, it looks like Danny.
Danny with an IE on the end. Well, and I was wondering, why is a woman performing marriage ceremonies, too? It's kind of odd, but it's not, apparently. This is...
Yeah, it's strange. It's Danie instead of Danny.
Yeah, okay.
Guess that's how they do it in South Africa.
They could, yeah. All right, well, that's fine. We'll allow other cultures, their diversity in spelling names. It just throws us off here. It throws me off at the Tyranny Response Network. But at any rate, glad you wrote in, Danny. It's an excellent comment, and we agree 100%. There's no reason that the marriage should license states. The state should license marriage. Yeah, I think marriages should license states. But at any rate, there's no reason that the state should be involved with marriage whatsoever. It's not its function, and it's usurping a role for which God is not pleased God is not pleased with Christians, I think, who just go over and grab the marriage license when they don't need to. It's time for them to stand up and use covenants instead. Yes, it might be illegal or might have some kind of ramifications for it, but so what?
Is it actually illegal?
Well, technically it is. In South Carolina, you break the law. It's a $100 fine if to the pastor and so forth. They don't like it. But on the other hand, you know, who's ever asked you for your marriage license?
No one that I can remember.
No, you might have. Sometimes if you're in a foreign country, they want to see it, or when you're changing your name on something, they might want to see it, like a passport. But even in South Carolina, when we did our marriage covenant thing, they just brought it down to the DMV, a little form, and told them that you changed your name, and they just changed it. They didn't want to see any marriage certificate, license, or anything. So
right.
You may be able to live with it. But even if you couldn't do that, what if the wife couldn't change her last name on the government documents? Would it mean you're less married?
Boo-hoo.
I mean, who cares?
Actually, my wife still hasn't changed her name on a Social Security card.
What difference does it make?
Has it? I mean, okay. She uses her maiden name for filing taxes, and that's it.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. Too bad she's still filing taxes.
Well, we've been getting money back, so.
Oh, okay. All right. I guess that makes a difference. At any rate, there's no reason to get a marriage license, folks. And Danny, this fellow from South Africa, has done us a good service by reading the website this morning. Isn't it nice that of the 16,000 visitors to Policy of Liberty every week, we have so many foreigners? Weren't there quite a few people from foreign countries reading Policy of Liberty?
See.
Yeah, quite a few more than proportionally. I think half my visitors to the website come from overseas. So at least we're spreading liberty throughout the globe. 16,000 visitors a month, 262,000 hits on the webpage a month. Glad to hear from you, Danny. I don't know if you're listening to the webcast in South Africa. Hope you are, and please do write again if you are. We'll be happy to hear from you. Anyway, what's up next for us? We got some stories we need to cover.
Yeah, let's jump into this. How about George Bush? President George Bush has pledged $50 million in aid for Palestinians, and that is really generous of him.
I think so.
I wasn't sure what is his net worth. I mean, I know he's worth a lot of money, but that's got to really take a big chunk out of
it. You just didn't realize how much the Bush Walker dynasty had. They're really loaded.
For him to be able to give away $50 million is I mean, it's quite generous. I mean, I'm not sure I would have given my money to the same cause, but that's a lot. What was it he made? Well, I'm trying to think what he made last year.
I don't know. He must have stored this up from somewhere.
He's not a billionaire, though, is he?
I think the Walker family probably is a billionaire.
But
family.
Is George himself?
Well, he could probably draw a check off the trust fund or something. I don't know. Somehow he wrote the check. I mean, how else
$50 million.
Yeah.
That's quite generous of him. Mm. President Bush pledged $50 million in aid for the Palestinians Thursday and urged Israel to stop settlement expansion and other activities that could prejudice negotiations on a final peace deal. Let's see. And the United States each year provides Israel more than $2 billion. The United States provides... Oh, wait a minute. Wait. No, this isn't his money he's giving away. This is the United States. What? Oh, wait, that's my money. Wait a minute. What the heck?
Oh.
No, he's giving away my money.
That's what he does. That's his job. He's not supposed to give away his own money. He's supposed to take it from you, rob you, and give it to somebody else.
He's giving away my money?
Especially ship it overseas. Imagine how many $100 bills, how many Franklins would you need to get $50 million?
Oh, boy.
A few suitcases full.
And then
full.
$2 billion to Israel each year. Well, you know, I can aggravate, annoy, tick off everyone by saying I don't believe in giving money to either of these groups. Neither one.
Well, you wouldn't mind if he gave his own money, really.
If he wanted to give his own money, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, I mean, we don't like the fact that the people contribute to the Catholic or Mormon churches or false religions like, you know, cults, but we wouldn't be against it in a free country. You know, you got to let people give their money where they want.
Yeah, yeah. But apparently this is my money he's giving away.
And everyone else's. Huh. He's like looting people.
Now, I wonder, you know, this Palestinian president, Mahmoud Abbas, I'm sure he thanked President Bush. But he should have thanked me, and you know anybody else that's in the United States paying taxes.
You know, with email the way it is, he should be able to just get a long list. You know, 280 million names or something. And
just do an email blast.
Yeah, he should thank you so much. He should get it programmed up nice with HTML kind of stuff.
Yeah, put some nice colors in there.
Pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for the $50 million. Yeah. So now personally, I don't really care about the plight of the Palestinians, because when they...
Or the Israelis, for that matter.
Well, the Palestinians, first off, I'd say, since they over and over again target innocent people, once you do that, I don't care what your cause is. I'm not going to listen to you.
Maybe that's why Bush... Right to be heard. I wonder if Bush gave him the money for that reason. I mean, he's been targeting innocent people, too.
Oh, yeah, the targeting... What innocent person has Bush targeted?
I don't know. There's two more...
That's
two
all
more
collateral damage.
There's like two more people that died today. You know, so every day I try to report on how many people were killed in Iraq than the last day. It's only two today.
I think it's because we're too nice to them.
They said Pakistan took the headlines today in Fox News because the Shrine bomb killed 20, and that was more than were killed in Iraq. But Iraq had two dead in U.S. chopper crash in Iraq.
Those guys were too nice.
Yeah, I guess so. We should just really be mean over there. Well, Bush.
Yeah, I think so. I think we need to do whatever those terrorists will understand. I mean, if you got to, after you kill them, bury them in pigskin or whatever they think is going to keep them from going to the their promised land with the virgins, whatever it takes, do it.
Yeah, we don't have much problem with attacking the terrorists, too. It's just the other people that get killed. All right, the producer is over here, like, making jumping jack kind of motions at us, the calisthenics. Are you stretching, or do you want to do something?
He's serious. We need to take this break.
All right.
Not like it matters.
Yeah, okay. You're listening to Christian Worldview with John Coben. And
Dr. John Coben.
Thank you. And
Rippin' Richie.
There you go. And we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And here in the upstate of South Carolina, it's 64 degrees, unless you happen to live somewhere else in the upstate of South Carolina where it's not 64 degrees, and it might be 62 or 66, but it's something like that. And the Weather Service says it'll be 83 today under mostly sunny skies, but it'll probably be about 95, just like yesterday.
Hey, it's Friday morning, Memorial Day weekend. It's 8:04, or at least that's what my computer says. Must be close to that.
Mine says 8:02.
Mine's probably right, because mine's Macintosh.
Oh, that's right. Well, Macintosh is always better than anything Windows does.
You got that right, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I always have problems with my Windows system. You ever have a problem with your Mac system?
No, I don't. I have to do a reboot maybe 3 or 4 times a year, to tell you the truth. It just rarely happens. You know what? And I had some software the other day that messed up that I had to shut down, and but that was Microsoft software.
Huh.
It was Microsoft Word. Yeah, so that figures. Yeah. Anyway, if you want to check out our website, we highly recommend it, tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. patriotic-events.com. You can go there, find out about local events, patriotic events. And you can also, get links to John Coben's site, my website, and a bunch of other cool websites having to do with the issues we talk about here on Christian Worldview. And you can also hear the Liberty Minutes from Dr. John Coben. You can hear today's radio show, yesterday's radio show, and the radio show from the day before that. And hopefully soon we'll have archived shows, which we'll have hundreds of those eventually. You can listen to those there as well. TyrannyResponse.com. Today we're going to talk about the Oregon House voting to end homeschooler test. We'll talk about wealthy illegal aliens, 5 cases of Quran mishandling, and last but not least, we'll answer the question, who is the real-life Sith?
Yes, those sounds very interesting. Before we do, I'll just make a quick pitch for our friends at the Times Examiner. It's the conservative voice of the Palmetto State. All this information is available at TyrannyResponse.com. And pretty soon, it's going to be available at TyrannyResponse.net. I was told that by one of our producers.
Yeah, whatever.
They bought TyrannyResponse.net.
Too. Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Who bought that?
Frank.
Well, I can go ahead and set that up to point it to the .com.
Yeah,
no problem.
He actually has that. At TyrannyResponse.net. You wanted to reserve it and make sure that we didn't lose it.
Well, I get in touch with him and just have him forward it to TyrannyResponse.com.
There you go.
I mean, nobody cares about .net, but...
Yeah, they still have it.
At least we'll have it. At least nobody else can get it.
There's about 16,000 people that care about .net on my site.
There'd be like 32,000 if it was .com.
Well, he got that one too. PolicyOfLiberty.com.
That was available?
Yeah.
Then why were you using .net?
Because I'm a network. I'm not a com. You know, we're a network of ideas here. Anyway, the Times Examiner, are you
tired? You know, com is not short for communist. Did you know that?
It isn't?
No, it's not.
I thought it was something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, are you tired of reading liberal columnists? The Times Examiner features outstanding conservative libertarian columnists, including Dr. Coben, Dr. Walter Williams, Dr. Thomas Sowell, Dr. Marvin Olasty, Ben Graydon, Joe Sobrin, Phyllis Schlafly, Charlie Reese, and the contributions from the homeschooling Sheen family. They would really appreciate your help right now if you have a business and placing an ad. 864-268-0576. That's 864-268-0576. Subscription for a full year is only $25. Out of state, $27. Well worth the money.
That's a weekly paper?
It is a weekly paper. 864-268-0576. Give Bob or
LaVerle a call. So what's that, like 50 cents?
It's not even that.
Wow.
You know, I mean, well, you know, it's something just slightly under 50 cents. Unless you're out of state, then it's slightly more.
Have they thought about putting all their stuff on the internet?
They do have a website. TimesExaminer.com.
I think it's just TimesExaminer.com, isn't it? Well, I'm not sure. I found it, though. And it's a nice-looking website. I don't think they had everything up on there yet.
Well, they don't have enough volunteers to do stuff like that. But they do their best.
Not everybody has volunteers who just come in and put up a website for you.
Right. That's right. We do. We're really fortunate. We have just some volunteers show up and decide to make a website. We didn't have any of this, about a month ago? There was nothing here.
Yeah.
We just had Policy of Liberty and a bunch of stuff thrown up there haphazardly by the Tyranny Response Unit, who doesn't know how to program web pages very well.
Correct.
But, you know, hey, we tried, and we did get the information available if you could hunt and peck for it.
Yeah,
you know.
It was there.
Yeah. So, but now it's much prettier, much nicer. And we're making improvements, or I should say you're making improvements every day to this thing, aren't you? Just about?
Maybe every 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're trying to encourage them to do it every day so it can get better. But actually, it really is great. We really appreciate Richie's work here on the website. It's just so much nicer than it used to be. Anyway, let's go to a story. Go to something. What do you?
Well, I was going to say, finish up with Bush giving $50 million to the Palestinians. They have this wall over there in Israel, and that they're trying to put up. You heard about that?
The Wailing Wall?
No, some wall they're trying to keep out the suicide bombers or something.
Oh.
And Bush raised questions about a barrier, this wall we're talking about. Let's see, Israel says it's for security. Palestinians call it a disguised annexation of land. And Bush said the barrier being erected by Israel is a part of its security effort, but must be a security rather than political barrier. And it's, anyway, he's worried about this wall causing some controversy. I understand that Bush is, he's real careful about doing anything that would protect the border.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to. He's real cautious about doing anything that could protect the nation's border. So
he has not shown himself to have any interest in doing so here, right? Is that your point?
Yeah, he's not much for secured borders, apparently.
Well, remember, governments are about insecurity. I mean, if there's no insecurity in the land, then there's no need for government.
You know what? When some Al-Qaeda guy brings a dirty bomb in and he just walks it across the border, we are going to be set up. It's going to be a good opportunity for a third party right there.
It could be, because the Republicans will use it as a national emergency and increase their budget.
No, the point is, all their yappity-yap about homeland security and protecting America and going across the world to bomb people and all that to protect America, and they're going to let somebody walk across the border with a dirty bomb, they're full of crap.
Right. Well, that's,
and then if another party comes up and says, look, we're going to secure the border, and we're not going to be messing around sending our police all over the world, but we're going to actually secure our border, then that party might have a chance.
You're thinking too logically. Remember the liberals. I mean, the public school has failed for years. And whenever they fail, all they say is, we did it, we failed because we need more money. And what's going to happen is Homeland Security is going to say, we failed. It's because we need more money.
They're not even making an attempt to close the border. And when you have some guys do it voluntarily, something that would cost them nothing, then Bush is going to call them vigilantes.
That's true. But it won't matter. They'll still come up with a way to increase their budget. And it's just like, you know, we're not teaching them to read and write English. Well, you don't even try. You teach them in Spanish in California and Texas and other places. Well, you know, that's just because we're being sensitive to our diversity. And they'll come up with some cockamamie excuse like that.
Well, I can tell you my plan. I think that if we need to determine whether or not we actually need all this, all these alien workers. If we need the workers, if we truly need the workers, fine. We'll allow a bunch of them in as long as they're not criminals and they have to come through legally, do it the right way, and we'll let plenty of them in if that is the case. But they must speak English, no more Spanish. They must speak the language here. And also, after that, after we let in the amount we need, we close the border off. Anybody else that crosses gets shot. Bang, that's it.
Mm. What if they're Christians?
Then that's that.
What if they're Christians?
And too bad. If a Christian breaks in my house, I'm going to shoot him. I'm not going to say, what is your belief? Are you Calvinist?
So you'd shoot a Christian.
Are you Anabaptist?
You'd shoot Christian brothers across the border.
If someone breaks into my house.
I'm not talking about your house. I'm talking about the border.
The border is, that's what we're there to protect.
Who says?
And we'd make it clear. You put up signs that, like with, we could put them in Spanish. How do you say that in Spanish?
They can't.
If you cross this line and you will die.
I haven't met any of these people
okay.
To read.
Well, we can make it into a little cartoon.
That would work.
We can make pictures or something. Well, something they understand. I don't know, Speedy Gonzales or something like that.
You could have a recording blasted if you come across your
and back. It would say,
si ustedes quieren cruzar la frontera, ustedes van a morir.
And at the end, boom. Or something like that. How do you say boom in Spanish?
Boom.
Okay. So you make a recording then.
Yes.
And it'd be like a motion detector when somebody goes past a certain point.
I can see a lot of cattle being blown up.
That's here. It. Or whatever. I mean, whatever it takes. If you have to build a wall, or, I mean, I don't know, if you want to shock them with one of these tasers so that they fall on the ground and flop around like a fish for 5 minutes, fine. Whatever it takes, but don't let them in. That we have to secure the border.
Ultimately, the only way you're going to solve this problem is changing the incentives for these people to have to cross.
Well, yeah, we have to cut out all the welfare as well.
Yeah, that's where the real issue lies. It's not.
I agree. And legalize drugs.
There you go.
And that would cut out a lot of it right there as well.
That's right, yeah. There's no reason to have drugs illegal. It's one of the stupidest policies. It's like the Patriot Act, just gives government more rights.
Folks, if you're hesitant about the legalizing drugs thing, just think about this. All these slackers standing on the corners with their pants halfway down their butts, they would be forced to get real jobs, and that would make it all worth it right there.
Yes, that would be something, too. We don't have that many here in Greenville. Where you came from before, they have a lot of them, don't they?
Well, I lived in Binghamton, New York, and we'd have guys that would try to sell drugs right in front of my house. I'd go out and run them off. I'd go out there with a camcorder. And they see the camcorder, they take off.
Oh, they do. That's great.
Yeah.
So, what if you showed up with a shotgun and a camcorder?
Well, to tell you the truth, when I went out, I don't know if I'm brave or not. I was always scared when I went out there. I just did it anyways. And my wife would always be standing by the door with the pistol grip shotgun, just in case we had a problem.
Yeah.
Mrs. Rippon would have to come out there and take care of business.
Yeah, well, that's good. Did you were you packing, too? Did you have a concealed weapon?
No, not at the time.
Yeah, if I were going to go out and confront somebody, I'd make sure I have my .357 at least.
Well, I mean, my wife was just a few feet away.
Oh, but I wouldn't want to trust her shot. I mean, I mean, she'd probably be good. But.
It's hard to miss with a 20-inch barrel and a shotgun.
Yeah, oh, that's spread. It might even hit you.
Well, I mean, she'd get in front of me, or I'd back up, or whatever.
I told you about Guatemala, how they had.
But the Lord was with us.
Amen.
I understand.
Well, you know, and I tell you, in Guatemala, every little McDonald's or bank or anything has a guy with a shotgun, a sawed-off shotgun. When you go in, I was teaching there. I'd go around to different places, and there they are. They got these shotguns. These guys standing there. And half the biggest problem in Latin America and Central America is half the people in these countries don't speak Spanish. It's not a matter of English, of course. It's Spanish.
What do they speak?
They speak their own Indian tribe languages.
Oh, okay.
And so they can't understand anything that's read or said to them.
Oh.
You just point. And so I asked, I'm in the bank, and I said, what's the story with this guy having this shotgun like this? He says, well, he's a guard. I said, you know, that's kind of like a short barrel. He says, yeah. I said, well, when you, like, shoot that thing, it's going to, like, hit a bunch of people in the bank. He says, yeah, there's a lot of innocent casualties. Almost, you know, every day people get hit. I'm like, well, why do you do this? You know, I mean, give the guy a rifle or a pistol. Oh, no, he's not trained, he told me. The reason we have to give him shotguns is they can't hit anything. I thought, this is advancement, huh? I said, I don't got to go to the bank anymore. Now I see why they have those ATM machines outside. We'll go over there instead.
That shotgun also speaks a language that everyone understands.
Yeah, especially that noise.
Yep, everyone understands that.
Yeah, it's great. Well, we're pro-gun here, if you haven't been able to tell, at the Tyranny Response Network and Christian Worldview.
We're taking a break here.
We're taking a break. Okay. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and Rippin' Richie, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
H.L. Mencken. Of government, at least in democratic states, it may be said briefly that it is an agency engaged wholesale. And as a matter of solemn duty, in the performance of acts which all self-respecting individuals refrain from as a matter of common decency.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Civilization is the progress toward a society of privacy. The savage's whole existence is public, ruled by the laws of his tribe. Civilization is the process of setting men free from men. Ayn Rand.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Welcome back to the show. It is Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. I'm guest hosting today. Rippin' Richie is what they call me for various reasons. Our website is tyrannyresponse.com. Tyrannyresponse.com is a place to go to find out about the Tyranny Response Network, local patriotic groups, the Libertarians, Constitution Party, the Patriot, what do they call themselves, Patriot Network, or Patriot...
The Carolina Patriots.
Carolina Patriots, all sorts of cool people you can find on the website, tyrannyresponse.com, all sorts of libertarians, right-wing extremists, people like that. We're live here on a Friday morning, Memorial Day weekend. It's about 8:21. If you want to call in to be on the show, the number is 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. We have a story here about... there's possibly five cases of Quran mishandling.
Ooh.
Quran mishandling, yeah. You know, I mentioned the other day how upset I was that someone already grabbed the website name flushthequran.com.
Were you going to try to reserve it?
I had some plans for it, but somebody beat me to it. As of like yesterday, they still hadn't done anything with it, though. Slackards. I'd have had it up and going by now. But yeah, flushthequran.com is taken under the spelling K-O-R-A-N and Q-U-O-R-A-N as well. Both spellings are taken from flushthequran.com. So I'm still kind of sad about that.
That is a tragedy.
Well, this story here says five cases of Quran mishandling. I read through the story. There's really nothing here. I mean, they say that a couple of these incidents involved that someone touched or picked up the Quran.
Ooh.
What, was some infidel actually touched the Quran?
What if you go to a bookstore and just like peruse the Quran or like in a library or something?
Wash your hands and say your Hail Muhammad's or whatever they do over there.
What if you get one of those like fried pork rinds or something like that? Could you just like open a bag and go through a bookstore and just set one on top of each Quran? Would that like they'd be upset?
I can try it and let you know.
Why don't we do that? You know, don't they have those like pork skins or something like that?
You know, back when I was a real radical evangelical type, which actually I probably still am, I would go into these bookstores and I would get the satanic Bibles and stuff like that and put gospel tracts in them.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's great.
Hopefully that spoke to somebody.
It might have.
But the as for the Quran, yeah, we don't want you to be a Quran moron. Quran is loaded with all sorts of trash and... yeah, as I said, Christians do horrible things when they stray from the example set by the founder of Christianity, Jesus Christ. And Muslims do horrible things when they follow the example of the founder of Islam, Muhammad.
Hmm.
And that's the way it is, folks. I mean,
That's logical.
Yeah, you see, what did Muhammad do? I mean, if Muhammad were around today, what would he be doing? Like the same stuff that Al-Qaeda's doing. Yeah. And, you know, when 9/11 happened, my friend Matthew from South Africa, Matthew, he's black. I mean, he is really dark.
Mm-hmm.
And I had him on the radio show. When he comes to visit, he would be on the show with me in Binghamton. No one would believe that he's black because, I mean, he's from South Africa. He doesn't speak Ebonics. He speaks the King's English and speaks it quite well, as a matter of fact. But Matthew called us on the air, 9/11 or shortly thereafter, and he said, "Look, you know, we know Islam here in Africa. You know, it's there's plenty of it here in Africa, and those terrorists, they're doing what the Quran says to do. They're actually, man, they're following Islam. So that's the sad truth, folks."
This is why we need some self-defense against these kind of thugs that come over here and do this sort of thing. Of course, some of them are responding to the invasions of George W. Bush and Clinton or whoever. And maybe they're upset. I don't know. But still, they're loony kind of people.
Yeah, it's a backwards culture over there. You ever do you know about Islam and their pedophilia?
Pedophilia?
You look it up sometime. I have a friend of mine lived in Egypt. He was with the Air Force for a while. Then he started doing some work in Egypt, and he said that they don't believe in you know, just fornicating, just having sex for no reason with women. That's what boys are for. And I thought he was kidding at the time, but you look it up on the internet. Load it up on the internet.
That's revolting.
Yeah, that's they think for some reason they think it's okay. You know, they're all against sex outside of marriage or whatever. But yet they'll rape these boys over there. As a matter of fact, recently, probably several months ago, it was in the mainstream news, Fox News or something, that some boy in Pakistan had been raped by his teachers at this Muslim school. And he refused to keep quiet about it, and the father was extremely mad, and he wouldn't be quiet about it, and they ended up with some big controversy over there. But, look it up.
Well, what percentage of Muslim men do you suppose have been raped when they were younger?
Yeah, I have no idea. I just know that you do a search for it on the internet, and you'll see that it's fairly regular practice.
Well, it wouldn't surprise us. And coming from a false religion, we never, aren't surprised at all. It's the same thing you hear about with the Catholic Church, with the nuns and priests getting together, the homosexual activities of priests, their own pedophilia. I mean, we're not surprised by any of this when they have these doctrines of devils.
Well, yeah, it's really strange that a lot of these cults that are so serious about these nitpicky things, at the same time, they'll have things like this going on. It's really, I worked with a guy who was in the Worldwide Church of God, Herbert Armstrong.
Cult, not Pasadena.
I'd usually kind of give him a hard time, but he was like so strict about observing these certain days and all that. But at the same time, he was like into pornography and admitted it like it's no big deal.
Wow.
It was really weird.
Whoa.
Really strange. So I used to hassle him about, I'd call Herbert W. Armstrong Herbie, and he'd get upset and say, "You show respect to Dr. Armstrong." And
is he still alive, Dr. Armstrong?
Oh no, he's gone on to his reward.
Yeah,
but they taught that that like the Mormons do, you can become a god. And so I asked this guy about that. I said, "How does that work? How do you go like to God College or something? And what would a class in God College be like? And can you imagine that you're sitting there and the teacher says, 'All right, there's Pedro lives in Guatemala, and if he gets on a bus traveling, 20 miles an hour, how many hairs are on his head?'" And you have to answer that to pass and graduate from God College and be a god.
I wonder how quickly they are at learning that sort of stuff.
Yeah, take a little
effort.
Yeah.
Well, before we go on to our next story, I'm just going to mention the Nationalist Times is a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. And some are on the ANU site today. There is something about the dark side of the empire. Is Bush a Sith Lord? By Paul Craig Roberts. So didn't you have something about the Siths?
Yeah, actually, I saw the movie, and I didn't see any articles. I didn't see that article. I was just going to bring it up, since the first time I've been on the radio since I saw the movie.
And go ahead. What does it have to do with?
Well, I've heard that some liberals, even Lucas himself, had made comparisons between the Sith in this newest movie and George Bush. And of course the leftists are going to say this portrays conservatives somehow, which they could have points in certain ways. Have you seen the movie yet?
No.
Why not?
Why would I?
Because there's like lots of cool action scenes with people getting their limbs chopped off and stuff.
Okay, well, I'll run down and see it tomorrow.
Okay, that's good enough reason right there. No, it's an interesting movie, but have you seen it, either the first two episodes, episode one or episode two of Star Wars?
I think so.
Okay, now the what's going on is you've got this Sith Lord who is he manufactures a fake war. In other words, there's this separatist movement that's trying to rebel against the Republic, and so then the Republic has to put this big army together, which they clone Jango Fett, who is Boba Fett from the other earlier movies, Boba Fett's father. They clone him, and they make all these guys that are really good soldiers, and that they wear the white helmets and all that. And that's where they come from. But they put this big army together because of these separatists or whatever who are fighting the Republic. But you find out that this guy who's in the Senate, or the head of the Senate, who gets these emergency powers because of all this, he's actually behind and working with the separatist movement. So this is all something that they fabricated. This whole need for this army and all that has all been fabricated by him in order for him to get more power.
Did George Bush read the book or something before he...
Of course, some people, especially conspiracy theorists, who I think are wacko nut jobs, who think that Bush, you know, caused 9/11 or something, would say that, yeah, look, there, you know, there it is. That's his, you know, this is what Bush has done because he made 9/11 happen so he'd get extra power and all that, which I don't believe that. But the idea that you would use a crisis in order to give the government more power, which really it shouldn't have, is definitely a valid point. But what we see, what we have is, of course, Darth Vader, who you probably know. No, I'm not taking a break, and you can't make me. Darth Vader, who you probably have seen, he starts off, and we'll take a break just after this, and we'll finish it up after the break. Vader starts off as a good guy, and he has these intentions. He has... of course, he has some problems with his flesh and not be able to control his emotions and stuff like that. But he has these intentions. He wants everybody to get along, everybody to be, you know, everything to work smoothly. And in one movie, he says, you know, if people want live peacefully or something like that, then we'll make them. And you kind of, and to me, it reminds me of liberals. And we'll tell you why right after this break.
Not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
This is Dr. John Coben from Christian Worldview. You know, a lot of my listeners call and ask me about allodial land titles, covenant marriage, and other topics of importance to Christians who love liberty. Many of these things I've written about at the policyofliberty.net bookstore called Alertness Books. We invite you to visit the Alertness Books bookstore today and pick up the materials that will help you learn the truth and be free.
Mr. Speaker, I want someone on that side of the House to tell me the difference between the bold robber who holds you up on the highway and robs you of your money and the government that does the bidding of a band of robbers who prescribe the conditions by which you shall come in and surrender your money. I will tell you the difference. One takes his chances and runs the risk of losing his own life in his effort to rob others, while the other gang uses the governmental machinery to hold up and plunder the citizen and in the name of law commits his crimes against humanity. Congressman James T. Heflin, Alabama, 1909.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS, as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals. That's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
I would rather be exposed to the inconveniences attending too much liberty than to those attending too small a degree of it. Thomas Jefferson.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And the weather is 67 degrees, depending on where you are in the upstate. You can it'd be a little bit colder, a little hotter than that. If you're making your way out to work, it's a beautiful sunny day today. They say there's going to be a high of 83 degrees, but I think this is part of a conspiracy. They just want South Carolinians to feel not so badly about the fact that it's 95 degrees and very hot. And so they're going to tell you it's only going to be 83. So you watch. See if you really get above 83 degrees today.
Yeah, it might. I don't know. I don't go outside that much.
Yeah. Well, just, you
know. Too busy working on the website.
You stay there then. I'll just give you the report. I'll tell you if it really made it or not. I've been telling you anyway.
Yeah, you let me know.
Yeah.
It is Friday morning. It's Memorial Day weekend 2005. And this is Christian Worldview. Website tyrannyresponse.com. That's tyrannyresponse.com. If you want to call in and be on the show, the number is 864-849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. He's Dr. John Coben. I'm Rippin' Richie. We're talking about answering the question, who is the real-life Sith? Now, as I said, in these Star Wars movies, you see, first of all, you've got this one guy who's pulling this scam of fabricating this supposed war, but it's really so that he can gather more power, which is, you know, like I said, it does make a good point. Like, even though I don't believe that Bush was behind 9/11, I do think that he has used this crisis in order to do things that are probably unconstitutional.
But that would implicate him, wouldn't it? I mean, that would make him think, a person think that he had something to do with it.
No.
Wouldn't?
No, I think, look, anyone...
Just accidental, you mean?
For example, they've used poverty as an excuse to grow the government and do unconstitutional things. That doesn't mean that those people that were involved in that caused poverty, right? I mean, poverty's been around.
It's just by definition, that, you have poverty.
Yeah, so just because people use something as an excuse to do unconstitutional things, doesn't mean that they necessarily cause that thing. There's politicians will use any excuse they can to pass more legislation to make it look like they're doing something, and to in effect buy votes.
We need this ought to generate some callers. We know we have a lot of listeners who think George Bush caused 9/11. We had a guest on the show last week that had that view. We need to hear.
Well, I don't
want to
get too far into the 9/11 thing. We're talking about Star Wars here, but that could be a whole show right there.
Get back to reality.
The 9/11 thing. Let's get back to reality in a galaxy far, far away, a long time ago. But it's a good point that this guy fabricated this war and then used that as an excuse to get all these unconstitutional powers, which is what happened. But the thing with Vader is he starts off as a good guy. But of course, he lets his emotions rule him too much, and as I mentioned earlier, there's that point in I think the second movie where he says people need to be peaceful or get along or there needs to be peace or something, and the girl says, well, what if they won't? And then he says, well, someone should make them or something like that. Like, so in other words, his end goal was good. He wants things to be peaceful and for people to get along and or have unity or whatever it is, but he's willing to go to any measures to make that happen. In other words, the end justifies the means, which is exactly what the liberals do. It's a nice goal to have, that everyone would make a decent wage or everyone would have money to spend and have food and health care and all that. I mean, that's a nice goal to have.
Sure. I also want a Mercedes and $100,000.
Exactly. But
spending money.
But
that's in addition to myself.
When you're willing to do anything and everything to reach that goal, when you're willing to violate the Eighth Commandment, thou shalt not steal, to reach that goal, you're willing to steal money from some people and give it to these other people to do that, that's where you're going wrong. And that's why I think that the liberals, with their social engineering, with their welfare and all that, healthcare, public schools, all this. I mean, of course, it's a worthy goal that kids would be educated. But to say we're going to do that by having the government control schools and have the government steal money from some people to pay for other kids' education, that's the wrong way to go about it. And that's it's never righteous to do evil things. No matter what your end goal is, and that's why I would say that the Sith is much more like the liberals, and the Sith in Star Wars would be like Bush, only to the extent that Bush is liberal in his policies. Of course, we know that he's not a true conservative.
That's for sure. Well, that's a very interesting comparison. Appreciate you bringing that up today.
You're welcome, John.
Okay.
I'm glad I could help.
Yeah, well, you've seen the movie. I haven't seen it, and so I haven't been able to
check
draw
it out.
Conclusions. I'll see it at some point. Why not?
But when you look at the first two movies, you got to be thinking about the politics of it. It's interesting. Actually, they were came under some scrutiny because the first two movies had so much politics in them and too much talk and not enough lightsaber rattling, but
yeah, which is more interesting, watching limbs get chopped off and stuff. Who cares about the politics?
Yeah, well, some of it's interesting, but you know, as long as it's settled with a lightsaber fight, that's what really matters.
Right.
Which would be nice if we could do that now.
Yeah.
And I've often said I wish it is like in the old days, or like some places overseas it still is, where the legislators, they'll just get in a fist fight or something.
Yeah, they used to do that here in America. We don't just give George Bush a lightsaber, see how well he does, and throw him up against some, you know, I don't know, Putin or someone.
I'd like to have in Congress, if you could just go around beating people up to pass legislation and stuff, I think it'd be great. Somebody gets up to wants to pass more unconstitutional legislation, call off and whack them.
We need to get
that might actually limit government.
And we might also get some good people elected, not people that had any brains or power to do anything, just big muscles. We get them in there, some big
you'd have
men
your
there.
Libertarian Party candidate in there in the gym working out and going to karate school and stuff like that.
We give another second career opportunity for football players or something.
I know I could whip Robert Byrd. We'd get rid of him right away. Ted Kennedy,
I mean,
he could push him over and he'd probably die.
Yeah, that's right.
He's real close to his reward.
There you go. Yeah. Oh, and it's going to be quite a reward, too, that he gets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to bring up one other story for you, too, today. That's from the University of Oregon Diversity Plan, raises faculty eyebrows. Fox News reports this. Portland, Oregon, a push for more diversity is causing a stir at the University of Oregon. Department heads across campus have castigated an early draft of a 5-year plan which would tie raises and promotions to cultural competency. So you're not going to get a raise at the University of Oregon anymore unless you are culturally competent. What does that mean? The ability to successfully work with people from all backgrounds is what it means, and would give funding priority for new positions to departments that adhere to the university's diversity goals. The reaction in Eugene, that's where the university is located, is 180 degrees from that of faculty members at Harvard University, who earlier this month hailed to a multi-million dollar commitment to gender equity made by President Lawrence Summers. Oregon's plan calls for hiring up to, look at this, 40 faculty members by 2012 to teach courses in a cluster of diversity-related topics, including race, gender, gay, and disability studies. What are you taking this fall, Fred? Well, I'm taking gay studies. Oh, are you going to get your major in disability studies? You got to admit, this makes for good humor on the radio. They weren't serious. The University of Oregon and the University of Berkeley are the two most liberal West Coast universities by University of California, Berkeley. This is where you actually find the so-called maggot-infested liberals walking around. You can be in Eugene and there will be people barefooted with matted long hair, smelling like reefer, walking around campus and even around the town there. That's what it's like in Oregon.
Wow.
Anyway, they also want to set aside more financial aid for minority undergraduates and graduate students from underrepresented backgrounds, whatever that is. I guess you go and tell them that you're a transgendered, you know, male and stuck inside a female body or something, you get underrepresentation status.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So what, you're going to, I'm going to get my doctorate in sodomy. I mean, come on.
Sodomy studies. It's funny when we say it, but you know it's disgusting at the same time. What about pedophilia? They had to study the Islamic culture a little bit to learn how to have sex with young boys or something.
Yeah, they're gonna be tolerant of that.
Underrepresented.
What? I don't know. This is crazy. So they're how are they gonna judge your? So this is basically saying you get a raise if you're tolerant enough of these other.
Yeah. Yeah,
how do they judge that?
Culturally, maybe by how well you perform in the classroom. I don't know. I mean, would that mean they have to hire more gay activists, sodomites, more pedophiles?
How do you judge that tolerance? I don't. I mean, unless the teacher is the student raises his hand to answer the question, and the teacher says, "Not you, queer. We're going to ask somebody else now." I mean, how are you going to tell how tolerant they are? I mean, this could be a hard thing for them to judge. I mean, most even you, if you were teaching at a college and you knew some of your students were homosexual, you're not going to grade them differently or anything. You're going to give them a grade based on the work they do. So even even someone that's a homophobe such as yourself, and as such as I would be labeled as well, would not show any favoritism or anything like that to homosexuals. So how are they going to judge this?
Maybe because you have to show favoritism. If you give,
in other words, maybe they want you to show favoritism.
Maybe they'll have a little G after the word, like a little G if they're gay, and if they get it, they have a ratio. How many G's got A's?
This is just something that would be so hard to gauge on somebody, whether or not they're tolerant enough. I don't know how they're gonna measure that.
It's crazy. Well, I know any of you people with PhDs out there thinking about applying for a university job, don't bother applying to the University of Oregon. It's a beautiful place, and their football team's all right, although it's probably loaded with diversity, culturally diverse people who are sensitive to race, gender, gay, and disability studies. And
are we going to have these professors like going out to gay bars and to try to get a raise? I mean,
well, that's the thing about Oregon. I mean, Oregon is an interesting state. It's much like, it's, in many ways, it's like South Carolina. Inside Eugene itself property, there's this whole center of liberalism, and in Portland. The rest of the state is arch-conservative or libertarian, leave me alone, glad I've got a, you know, they have a concealed weapon, you know, law that's just one of the best in the nation. They like their guns, they like to be left alone, and they don't like sodomy, generally. They don't like pedophilia, but in these cluster towns, they do. And so I imagine these people stray too far, they're going to find, they're going to have some problems. I would guess.
Yeah, well,
I lived in Oregon for 5 years, almost 8 years.
So you've been there, okay. We actually have some good news from Oregon as well, but first, time to take a break. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, which shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Thomas Jefferson, in his first presidential inaugural address, 1801.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
As nations cannot be rewarded or punished in the next world, they must be so in this. By an inevitable chain of causes and effects, Providence punishes national sins by national calamities. George Mason.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And just to remind you, the studio line number you just heard has changed for the time being. The current studio line to try is 849-0277. That's 864-849-0277. For some reason, there's difficulty. You can use the backup line. We prefer this first line, of course, but if you can't get through, 864-201-6955 is also functioning. Now, we've got a caller on the line, but before we get there, because it might be a long call, I want to remind you The Tyranny Response Network is looking for support right now, donations to improve the signal. Some of you have asked how we can get the signal better in your area, like Spartanburg or Anderson, Pickens, Clemens, Clemson, I'm thinking baseball here. At any rate, if you can support the Tyranny Response Network, go to tyrannyresponse.com and use the PayPal feature there, or the address at the bottom of the page. Any little bit would help right now, just a few $100 away from having from lighting up Pickens and Anderson County with this this show and in this programming. They would like to get your support, and if you can support us, even a small amount would be greatly appreciated this time. All right, we have on the line with us Jan, and we'd like to welcome you to the show, Jan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. You're a little bit hard to hear, as we're having all these technological snafus, it seems. But
not as bad as last time.
Yeah, last time we had like this, I don't know what it was. It was like air raid sirens going off.
Yeah, I heard that.
You heard it, okay. All right.
Well, you guys were talking about the University of Oregon, and my comment was maybe this is a way for them to get out of actually giving raises, because we know colleges are all about gaining money. That's why they charge so much for the junk that they teach kids nowadays. So I thought maybe it'd be so difficult for them to gauge this, they'd just say, you know, no, you didn't do a good enough job, you're not going to get a raise.
Well, that's interesting. What an alternative view of things here. So instead of, they're actually instilling the policy because they just don't want to give these folks raises. They're just trying to cut their budgetary costs, so they throw in the diversity thing.
Right. Well, and at the same time, you know, the professors would be going right along with the liberal view of what to teach, tolerance and acceptance and all that kind of stuff, and but to no cost to them.
Well, there's another side of that, too. Maybe the faculty support it. Can you imagine, you know, the professor coming home, honey, you know, I've got to go down to the gay bar today and learn about gay sex, or I've got to go to this strip club because I've got to be more culturally diverse. You know, it's not, I don't really want to go there and be involved, but, you know, the university is making me do it. You know, you can see how they might be looking at it that way as well, to get themselves a little more sensitive.
Yeah, that's possible. Well, we know that the upcoming professors will already be educated in this, as they're starting at a younger age, even in the public schools, to begin to teach junk like this. I don't know if you heard not too long ago, or this week I heard on another talk radio show where they were teaching.
You don't listen to other. You aren't saying you listen to other talk radio shows, are you?
I'm sorry, but you're not on. I mean, you know, I listen to you in the morning, and
I don't listen to other talk radio shows. I don't pollute my mind. I keep it pure. Right on the Tyranny Response Network. Anyway, go ahead. We'll forgive you for that.
Where they were teaching eighth graders how to use Saran Wrap for safe oral sex or anal sex.
That's real pleasant.
The upcoming professors that are going to be teaching at these universities will already be cultured in that area.
Yeah. I wonder if they're going to have Saran Wrap studies, too. I hadn't heard about the Saran Wrap thing. That's really amazing. Well, nothing surprises me that public school does, but you have a great point. I mean, they just might already be ready for this. It may not even seem like diversity for them. I mean, you know, what are you doing at lunch hour? Oh, I'm going down to the sodomite bar. Oh, that's great. I went there yesterday. Well, today I was going to head over to, you know, Drug Central or something. And or what was some of the other transgendered thing they had on there? They had some other things. Where's that list? Producer, produce that story again. We've already chucked it, I think. But maybe they're going to go every day of the week, have like a smorgasbord. You know, like some Christian schools, Taco Bell comes in one day, and the next day they get, you know, Chick-fil-A or Chick-fil, as I call it. Stuff like that. And maybe they have, like, you know, different groups coming and advertise their thing. Maybe they have them installed on campus. I mean, that's the best way to have diversity. Just bring these groups in, have a strip joint, and have a gay sex place, and, you know, adult stores or whatever else they've got these days, and have students just visit, and professors. Maybe professors could donate their time.
Right. Yeah, volunteer. Uh-huh.
Right. Well, I wonder what happened if the professor's wife would come in, or husband, depending on it might be, and volunteer their time. And say, well, I'm just trying to help in your promotion, honey, to donate my time over here and show myself to be diverse.
Well, there might be some professors that would be all for that, and there might be others that would, you know, be against it.
Yeah.
You know, my work is separate from my home, honey. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't know what goes through the minds of some of these folks. Now, the Oregon professors, to their credit, half of them aren't happy about this administrative thing. That's what the article said. At Harvard, they were all happy about it, every one of the professors. So Boston is a little bit further ahead in its diversity than Oregon, evidently.
Right.
But we knew that. I mean, look, judging from Boston, anything goes there. It's You wonder how Sam Adams ever could have been from such a place. You know, that's what I don't understand. Anyway, that's a great call. And I don't know. We're making a lot of fun of this. This is serious stuff, though. This is tragic.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, some of the things that you suggested probably already exist in a lot of these universities, and that's a sad thing.
Right. And they didn't mention pornography studies. Are they against pornography if they're against diversity, Richie? What do you think?
I'm sure that's part of being diverse as well.
They didn't mention it though. I wonder if they have like porn rooms or something like that. Then weren't you saying you had a Church of Christ? Was it Armstrongite who was a religious guy but was also religiously addicted to pornography or something like that?
Yeah, he had the I guess the Worldwide Church of God Bible and then the Hustler magazine.
Well, that's a pretty good deal. I wonder if you could just sort of check it out at class, or maybe I wonder if the gal students would be offended by that. You know, maybe they aren't so diverse in that direction because it wasn't on the list.
Yeah, well, some people are not as diverse as others.
Yeah, that's true.
I think it would also depend on the type of pornography it is. So.
Oh, what do you mean? Are there different kinds of pornography? You mean like male pornography versus female pornography, stuff like that, kiddie porn?
Yeah, or homosexual pornography, or pedophilia pornography.
Yeah, those would probably be okay if you just had the standard run-of-the-mill stuff like, dirty pictures of naked girls or something, or women. That probably wouldn't be... That might not be looked upon as diverse enough. That's kind of heterosexual or something still. Unless you're a woman looking at it.
You know that you and Rich, since you both are happily married, you are just lesbians trapped in a male body.
Yeah, I feel that way sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, don't you have that urge kind of to sit down to... I'm not going to say that. I'm not over the radio going to say that. Sometimes things come into my mind that are just from the flesh. I won't
this show it. Is over.
Yeah. I'm on the radio. Settle down. Okay. Excuse me.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call, Jen. Appreciate it. And thanks for trying out our new line with our high technology here. Rip and Richie's in the studio. We wouldn't have been able to accomplish it without his efforts.
It seemed like that worked pretty well.
It did work pretty well. And I've never seen you so quiet. That was good. Well, this is a tough subject, this sensitivity stuff. We have a couple other stories that we're supposed to get to today. You announced that we would get to them, so we really have to do it. It's like binding us by contract.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? But there was some good news from Oregon, by the way. The House voted that they were going to do away with required testing on homeschool.
Great.
Homeschool kids, yeah.
A lot of homeschoolers in Oregon.
Now, one of the...
Would you want your kids going to the government school in Oregon? I mean, think about how diverse they are.
Yeah.
And not anywhere, I know. But
right, yeah, especially not there, huh? Mm. But there was one representative, a Republican, said that homeschooling parents have a track record of doing an excellent job.
Hmm.
One of the Democrats said that without tests, there's no way to detect which students aren't doing well. And he said, quote, "I'm concerned about those few students who do poorly." So he's concerned about the children. What about the few students that do poorly in public schools?
Is there just a few?
Concerned about them? Exactly.
Yeah.
And then another supposed Republican said she reluctantly supported the bill and will urge the Senate to restore a requirement that parents who homeschool their children notify their local education agencies of that fact. Yes, we must notify the government and ask their permission before we educate our own children.
No, why?
Yes, dear Father Government, is it okay that I educate my own kids?
Is it okay for a Christian to rebel against state requirements like that? I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, as a Christian, you need to take a stand at some point. Don't give us some mealy-mouthed pragmatism that says, well, I've got to just do what they tell me to do.
Yeah.
You need to take a stand for what's right. I don't care if it's illegal to homeschool your kids. I've been homeschooling kids since 1988 when it wasn't a good thing to do. People scorned me. They snubbed their nose and all this kind of stuff at me for homeschooling. Too bad. I'm not gonna compromise the principles in order to put my kids on the altar of Baal. So if you're a Christian, you're listening to the show, you have no business having kids in public school or working for the public school. It's evil, and you're sinning when you do it. How's that? And the best thing you can do is put them in homeschool, in my opinion. We're not against Christian schooling per se, but I think homeschooling is by far the cheapest, most effective way to educate kids, and it's most biblical.
Definitely the way to go. Definitely.
Anyway, what else you got for us?
Well, our last story is... found out there's these illegal aliens that are actually very rich that are living in California, I guess most of them. Says the Border Patrol and the Minutemen won't catch these illegal aliens because they fly first class.
And there's a lot of these illegal aliens that are, they've made their money in Mexico, and they left. Well, they're living in America most of the time, and the guys fly back and forth to run their businesses, but they're staying in America the majority of the time. They said that they have family or close friends that have been kidnapped, and they were for a while hoping the police would put a stop to this stuff, but it turns out they were part of the problem. And so the crime, I guess, in Mexico City especially, was just so horrible that they had to have bodyguards and and watchdogs and all this stuff, and so they finally just got out of there. It's just a terrible crime problem. So these people are well off, and so they fly up there and live in America, and they're illegal aliens.
Well, this is an interesting twist on the whole thing, because in reality, the main thing, the complaints people have about illegal aliens are they cross private property, they leave a bunch of trash there, they're rude and unruly. A lot of them are part of ASLAN, trying to, not a lot, but a few of them want to repatriate for whatever reason, the Western United States to Mexico. And because these people make use of the welfare state, public schools and emergency rooms are closing down in California. This is the main cry against illegal aliens. But with these rich ones, I'm not sure I'd have any complaints at all. And why would I? I don't have such a strong view about illegal aliens as many people do, at any rate. But with rich people coming here and spending their money, why do I care?
As long as bringing some money back in,
they're bringing money in. They're at least paying. They're boosting the economy, and they're not using the welfare state. I don't care.
Those are people under the ripping plan. Those people will definitely be allowed in here.
Oh, you'd let all the rich ones in. There you go. Hey, I like that. Do you also think that only rich people should vote?
I would property consider that. Owners? I think that only someone that's in a certain tax bracket should vote on the taxes that affect that tax bracket. How about that?
Well, yeah, that's good. But what about the idea of poor people, entitlement-minded people, being able to vote for... to grant themselves tax money from other people?
I don't think anyone that gets any kind of government check should be able to vote.
So that you lose the right to vote as soon as you get a welfare. So anybody on Social Security loses the right to vote. I'm in favor of that. I like that idea.
Yeah, that's it.
This has been a great show today. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Go and Rippin Richie, go to the website at tyrannyresponse.com. Check it out. Also remember, we are on the air on Memorial Day. We're not taking a holiday.
What?
Yeah, you're welcome to come back if you got nothing better to do, Rich.
Man, I'll have such a hangover by then.
Oh, wow.
You won't want me in here.
Okay, well, you're right. I won't.
No, I'm just kidding. I never get drunk.
He's revealing all his sins to us here, folks.
I've never been drunk.
Okay, good.
Even when I had long hair, I didn't get drunk.
All right, well, we're glad to hear that. Good for you. At any rate, we're gonna look forward to seeing you all again right here on Memorial Day morning at 7:30. Until then, God bless you.
See ya.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.